Welcome to Gemara Markings. Today's shiur is Nidah Daf Lamed Gimel. Don't forget to click on the Daf option in order to view a marked Daf Gemara for today's shiur. If you're not fully familiar with our Gemara marking system and wish to benefit from its great rewards, it is essential that you study all of the introductory material accessed by clicking on the Learn the System option provided on the sidebar of our home page. If you are already partially familiar, you will benefit by clicking on the brief four-minute introduction that is available here. Being that our system is a visual approach to the Daf Gemara, it is recommended that you print out the Daf before the Shiur, and even better, order your personal volume of this Maseches. Our address is gmarkings@gmail.com. Today's shiur will begin the second line from the bottom of Daf Lamed Beis Amud Beis. You will notice a house shape. On the outside margin of our Gemara, we have a Nosei Mivneh heading. This is a topic heading. The Nosei and Mivneh is a structural note. At times we combine the two into one notation. In this case, we are coming off a discussion that we pursued at the end of our previous year, the lower part of Lamed Beis Amud Beis, commenting on the Mishnah, which had mentioned Hakusim Itamin Mishkuf Tachton Ke'elyoin, that the Kusim impose a Tuma on their Mishkav Tachton Ke'elyoin, and the Gemara asked what is meant by that. The Gemara answered that the intention of that is to say that just like Elyonei Shel Zav, that which is used to cover a Zav being one of the major forms of Tumah Hayotze Migufo, Tumah that emerges, that is emitted from one's body, that which is on top of him like a blanket, a cover, something that he is found underneath, that is Metama, food and drink, but not people nor vessels. So too the tachtoinoi shel boyel nida, that which is underneath a man who has intimacy with a nida, which is a nida being another form of tuma, a man who has intimacy with the nida, he too becomes tome. However, that which he sleeps on, or that which he rests on, that which he sits on, that's the tachtoinoi, that which is underneath him and is designed to be underneath a person, that becomes tomei, but it will communicate tumah only to food and drink, but not to people and vessels. And by the way, that's in contrast to the boyel nida himself, who, if he touches another person or vessels, will communicate tumah to them. However, the bed on which he lies, or chair on which he sits, that does not become like him. That, by the way, is in contrast to the Nida herself, where if she sits on a chair or bed, she makes it into a Mishkov, and that means that her bed or chair will be able to communicate Tuma to a person or vessels. Realizing that we've said quite a few points, a lot of details, have no fear, in the course of time, if this scene sounds complicated, it becomes a part of you. The Gemara, Elyonei Shel Zav Minolan. Here our Gemara asks, from where do we know the rule of Elyonei Shel Zav? So before we learn the Gemara, let's glance at that note that we referred to earlier, where the house form appears in the outside margin. Makoros, number one, the house represents a sign here of source seeking for Del Yonei Shel Zav, and number two, later we'll see on Daf Lamed Gimel another house form, V'tachtoine Sheboyol Nida Mitamin Rako Yichlinu Mashkin V'lo Odom V'Kelim, that the that which is on top of a Zav or that which is underneath a Boyol Nida, they communicate Tumah only to food and drink and not to people nor vessels. The Gemara, Elyonei Shel Zav Minol, and from where do we know this rule of Elyonei Shel Zav, that the blanket or covers that go on top of a Zav that he happens to cover himself with will be mitama only food and drink? Dichtiv, the Pasuk says, V'chol hanogea b'chol asher yeh tachtov yitma. The Pasuk says that anything that comes into contact with anything that's under him will become tomei. My tachtov. What does the word tachtov mean? Literally, it means underneath. So, continuing now on the top of Lamed Gimel Omed Aleph. A double underline appears here, and the next line also, Elo Ile Mo'elo, under our Mivneh heading in the outside margin, we've noted this is a reference to Ile Mo'elo Shlavim. These are stages, Bebiur Hamilo Tachtov. What is meant by Tachtov? So if you are to think that Tachtov Dezav, if you think that the Posuk that we just quoted, which was in Vayikra, Perek, Tes, Vav, Posuk, Yud, is a reference to that which is underneath the Zav, like a bed or a chair, something that the Zav sits or rests upon. Mivisha Shiyiga b'mishkavoy nafka. There is another Posuk that talks about the Mishkav of the Zav, the Tachtoin of the Zav. Elo Hanogea b'chol asher ye hazov tachtov. Rather, our posuk, this posuk yud, is referring to anyone who touches anything that the zav is found underneath. That, in other words, is the elyoinu shel zav. The cover covers the zav, or the blanket covers the zav, and the zav is underneath it. Umaynihu, what is that? What is meant by b'chol asher ye hazov tachtov? Elyoinu shel zav. It's what we have been speaking about. Niskoi hakosuv mituma chamura vehevio lidei tuma kala. The posuk nisko means it has removed it from the realm of tuma chamura, which was tuma chamura means serious tuma, and brought it to the realm of tuma kala, lighter tuma. What is meant by that? What is meant by removing it from the serious realm to the lighter realm? Teaches us, Lomar Loch teaches us that She'enoi Mitama Elo Oichlenu Mashkin, that the Elyono Shazav, unlike the Tachtoino Shazav, the Elyono is Mitama only food and drink, which are, let's say, easier to Mitama, but it will not Mitama people nor vessels. Rashi elaborates on this a bit, and let us take a look at the Rashi on the third line from the top. Niskoi hakosuv mituma chamura midichtiv, from the fact that it says in posuk yud, b'chol hanogea b'chol ashiria tachtov yitmo v'hanosei oisom yichabes begodov. This posuk is broken into two parts. There's that which one touches, and there's one of carrying. So Rashi says, "Umidelo arvinu," from the fact that the two phrases are not joined together, the nichtoiv, and write simply, "V'chol hanogea, v'chol asher yeh tachtov, v'hanosei oisam yechabes begodov, v'afsikinu beyitmo," and it breaks apart the pasuk into two through the use of the word yitmo. Mechlal dahai yitmo lav be'odom uvgodim komairi. Apparently, the Yitmo is showing that this will communicate tuma, but not to people nor clothing. Ela ba'oichel u'mashkim. V'hanoisei oisam, the posuk, that the end of the posuk that speaks about and one who carries them, nidrash p'teres kohenim l'noisei mishkavo u'moshavo shel zav. That's a reference to one who carries the bed or chair of a zav. So this idea of nisko is a reference to the way the posuk has been broken apart into two sections, leaving us with the idea that the first part of the posuk is a reference to a lower form of tuma, namely the elyonu shelzav communicates tuma only to food and drink and not to people nor vessels. The Gemara asks, we continue now with the question, we're using this diamond shape to highlight the word nisko. Amar niskoi hakosuv. Why not say that this concept of the posuk removing elyonu shelzav from a particular realm means as follows? Why not say niskoi hakosuv mitumo chamura? It is removed from tumo chamura. To what extent? Lo metame odom letame begodim. That it won't metame a person to the extent that the clothing the person is wearing, who becomes tame, will also become tame. Aval adam oy begadim litma. But why not say that the elyonu shelzav will be able to metame a person or clothing? By the way, let's contrast this with a mishkov, let's say, of a zav, or a mishkov of a nidah, those are the things the zav sits on top of. Those things, the mishkov, will mitama a person, and let's say a person touches a mishkov of a zav, he becomes tamei, and the clothing, even though the clothing didn't touch the mishkov, the clothing he's wearing also become tamei. What we are describing here with regard to the elyona shel zav is that the elyona will in fact, according to the suggestion, mitama person, but not the clothing that he is also wearing. The Gemara answers why we don't follow this suggestion. Omar kro yitmo, the word in our pasuk of pasuk yud was yitmo. Tumo kala mashma, the word yitmo implies the feeling or implies the level of tumo kala, meaning only food and drink, and no tumo for people. So what have we said now up till this point very briefly? El yonah shazav is capable of imparting tumo only to food and drink and not to people nor vessels. This was another point that was referred to on Lamed Beis Omid Beis, and that was that the Elyonu Shel Zav is the Tachtonu Shel Boyol Nida, which is a reference to the Kusim in our Mishnah. Of course, you all recall that the Kusim were considered like Boyalei Nida, so the Kusi being considered like a Boyal Nida, we're interested in knowing the status of the chair or the bed that he rests upon. So the Mishnah explained very briefly, and the Gemara elaborated that the bed of the Boyal Nida is like El Yonah Shel Zav. We just finished describing what the power of El Yonah Shel Zav is, and now we look into the Tachtonu Shel Boyal Nida. After all, the Tachtonu Shel Boyal Nida was compared to the El Yonah Shel Zav. So here the Gemara asks, the Tachtonu Shel Boyal Nida minolan, from where do we know about it that it is not like a Boyal Nida himself? What can we say about a Boyal Nida himself? A Boyal Nida himself is metama a person and vessels, but the mishkav and moishav of a Boyal Nida, that we call the tachtonu of the Boyal Nida, is mitama only food and drink. This is a note that we have in our outside margin under our no say heading. So having read that note just now in English, let's now turn to the Gemara. The tachtonu shel Boyal Nida minolan, from where do we know the rule concerning the tachtonu shel Boyal Nida that it is not like the Boyal Nida, and that it, the tachtonu shel Boyal Nida, is mitama only food and drink? The Sanya, the pasuk says, "Vatihi nidasa olav." The one who has intimacy with a nida, so her nida, her nidus, so to speak, envelops him, takes hold of him. The pasuk in full is quoted on the side of our Gemara. We've written it in the margin, so let's just glance at that. Vayikra perek tezvah pasuk chavdal. It says, "V'im shachoyv yishkav ish oisa." Usihi nidasa olav. A man who has intimacy with a nidah, so her nidus is upon him. V'tomei shivas yomim. He will become tomei for 7 days. V'chol hamishkav asher yishkav olav yitmo. And all beds and chairs that he is upon will also become tomei. So this part of the pasuk, the beginning, it says usihi nidasa olav. Yochol ya'ale l'raglo. Does that mean that he becomes literally like the nida? Let's use an example. A nida, as everyone knows, once she has a blood sighting, she becomes tame for 7 days. Let us say a man had relations with the nida on day 6 of her tuma. Would you say then that he will be tame just for today and tomorrow, day 7, just like she is holding right now by day 6? So the Gemara, the Brisa says, no. Talmud loymar v'tomei shivas yomim. He is to be tomei for 7 days, for his own 7 days. Even if he has relations with her on her last day of tuma, he will have to observe his own 7 days. Oma talmud loymar batini dasa olav. what is meant by this expression, because if you take it literally, it means her nidus is upon him, which gave us room to think that whatever she was, wherever she's holding, he too will be like, then we're saying that's not so. So what does this mean? Sheyachol, I might have thought without this, lo yitmo, lo yitame odom ukli cheres, that a boil nida would not be able, doesn't have the enough tumah in him to communicate tumah to people nor vessels. Talmud lomar vatihi nidasa lov. Her nidus strength is upon him. Her tuma level is on him. Mahi metam odom v'kli cheres. Just like a nida is capable of communicating tuma to a person and earthenware vessels. Af hu metam odom v'kli cheres. So too he is metam those items. Question. Imahi oisa mishkav u'moshev letam odom letam begodim. Avhu oisa mishkav umoshev letame odom letame begodim? Are we going to go all the way with our comparison and say just like she, the nida, the woman, imposes a tumah on her bed or chair that would communicate tumah to a person and metame the clothing he is wearing, even if those clothing don't touch the bed, he just touches the bed, the nida bed? Will that be the same with regard to the boyol nida, that the boyol nida's bed or chair will metama a person and the clothing he is wearing as well? Talmud lomar, to this we say that's not so. V'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav olav yitma. She'ein Talmud lomar v'chol ha-mishkav asher yishkav olav yitma. It wasn't necessary to say that. The pasuk already said v'tehi nidasa olav. And as far as her beds are concerned, there's another pasuk for that. So what is this phrase doing? And we have noted this is part of pasuk Chof Dalet. What is this doing here? Niskoi hakos, if we're using this double underline with dots in it to highlight the word nisko, similar to the way we did this above, to contrast this suggestion, which is the maskona of the Brisa, with a suggestion of the Gemara later. So what does v'chol hamishkav asher yishkav alav teach me? Niskoy akosuf mituma chamura ve'vio lidei tuma kala. The pasuk has removed the boyal nidos mishkav from the realm of tuma chamura, from the realm of serious tuma, and brought it to the realm of lighter tuma. Loy marloch she'enu metam el oichlin u'mashkin, to tell us that the mishkav of a boyal nida is metam, it communicates tuma only to food and drink, and not to people nor vessels. Poruch Rav Achoy. Rav Achoy raises a question. Amor, now an alternative suggestion. You'll see the Amor is triangled, and on the margin we have written under our Mivneh heading, the word Amor will appear in triangles. Hatsaos Chilufios, they represent alternative suggestions to whatever we are saying now. So Amor, Niskoi Hakosuv mituma chamura. Why not say that the mishkav of the boyal nida is removed from the realm of totally severe tuma, the hevio le tuma kala, and is lowered it to a lower level of tuma, the lo netama adam le tumuya begadim, that the mishkav of the boyal nida won't metama a person, and at the same time the clothing he is wearing, aval adam ubegadim litma, but a person or clothing, the boyal nida's mishkav could metame. After all, the Brisa said, no, the mishkav of the boyal nida is metame only oichlin umashkin. Here we're suggesting maybe it's more intense than that, and it could communicate tumah to man or to clothing. Omarav asi, yitmo tumah kala mashma. This is the same answer as we gave before, that the word yitmo implies a light level of tumah, which means food and drink, but not people. The Gemara asks, Amor, why not read the pasuk like this? Usihi nidasa alav equals klal. That's a general statement. V'chol hamishkav, which is also in this pasuk, which you can see by glancing at the pasuk where this appears, and that equals prat, a particular. So you have a general statement, and then a particular. And structurally, when you have verses like this, we darshan them, we explain them as follows. Klalu prat, ein b'chlal alamashe b'prat. The klal contains, the general statement is really limited to the example. Mishkav u'moshav in, midi achrino lo. That the mishkav of the boil nida is mitame, only food and drink, and not people nor earthenware vessels. So could that not have been the way to read the pasuk? Omar Abaye, Yitmo shivas yomim mafsiko inyon. When you look in the pasuk, the word actually it appears as vitome, not yitmo. But the text in our Gemara appears to be incorrect, but if you look in the psukim, you will see. And this, by the way, was corrected earlier on the upper part of the page by the comment in the margin under the Mesoras Hashas. It should read here: "V'tomei shivas yomim mafsiko inyon." It breaks apart. It serves as an interruption between the phrase "usihini dasalav" and what we thought was the prat of "chol hamishkav." This expression "v'tomei shivas yomim" appears between the two phrases. Have a klalu prat hamruchokim zemizeh, and Abaye describes this as a general and a detail that are distanced from one another because there's a phrase between them. On a structure of a pasuk like this, where the klal, the general, is meruchok, is distanced from the prat, it doesn't allow us to darshan it as a klal uprat form, and hence, if you want to come to the conclusion that the mishkav of the boil nidus metam on the oichlan umashkin will have to do what it's will have to learn, like it said in the brisa of niskei hakosuv. Rava Omar, Rava's a second approach to this last triangle suggestion of why not learn the pasuk as a klalu prat. Rava says liolam donin. In general, we wouldn't hesitate to learn a klalu prat even if there's an intervening phrase. However, v'chol ribui hu, the word v'chol that appears in the pasuk, which is v'chol hamishkav, is inclusive, and therefore we wouldn't darshan it as a klal uprat. Before we go on, we must correct a mistake that we made. So this necessitates going back to the last triangle, Emo Usihi Nidosa Olov. The Gemara here is suggesting to read the pasuk as a klal uprat. So the Gemara reads, Emo Usihi Nidosa Olov klal, v'chol hamishkav prat, klal uprat in v'chol hamashav beprat. That type of structure would limit me to the example. And here's where we're correcting that which we said earlier. Mishkav u'moshov in, namely that the boil nida is capable of being metama only beds and chairs, midi achrino lo, but not capable of metama anything else. So to this, the Gemara says, which we know is not true, the boil nida is metama everything. He's Adam and Kalim also he's Mitama, not just Mishkav and Moshav. So Abaye says that Yitmo Shivas Yomi Mafsiku Inyan, that phrase came between the Klal and Prat, have a Klalu Pratim Ruchokim Zemizeh, since they are now distanced, the Klal from the Prat, the whole Klalu Prat Hamruchokim Zemizeh, and Donu No Yisoy B'Klalu Prat. That prevents us from limiting the Boyol Nido's Tuma powers to just the Mishkav and Moshav. Rava Omar Le'olam Donin, just because the klal and prat are distanced from one another, that doesn't stop us. However, v'chol ribui hu. In the pasuk, the word v'chol appeared, v'chol hamishkav, and that implies that he is metame more than just the mishkav and moshav. Continuing in the Gemara, maskif lo Rebbe Yankiv, emo kehi. Why not say that the boyol nida is like she? Mahi lo chilakta bo bein magol the mishkava letame odom letame begadim lechumra, just like in the case of the nida herself, we make no distinction between that which she touches and that which her bed or chair touches. Just like she touches someone and his clothing, the clothing that the person is wearing becomes tamei, even though she doesn't touch the clothing, so too we know that the mishkav of the nidah herself is treated the same way, that it will metame a person and the clothing he's wearing that comes into contact with her mishkav u'moshav. So af hu, here is the point of parallel. So to the boil nidah, let us say the same thing. Loi tachloik boi bein mago le mishkavoi letame odem letame begodim le kula. So to let us make no distinction between the boil nidah and the bed or chair of the nidah in the direction of leniency, namely where both of them, even his mago, even his own contact where the boil nidah himself touches a person, and let us say that it will not result in his, in the person's clothing becoming tamei, which is not true. In other words, there is a distinction, but our suggestion is, why not say that just like in the case of the nidah, we make no distinction between her, between she herself, namely that which she touches and that which her bed or chair touches, so too in the case of the boil nidah, just like you're saying that his mishkav and moishav are mitama are metama only lekula, means leniency, where it's metama only ochlenu mashkin. Let's say the same thing with regard to that which he touches. Omar Rava Olov lahat inoi mashma. When we speak about the boil nida himself, it is the pasuk implies that the tuma that she has is imposed on him. Just like she is metame odom letame begodim, so too the boil nida and his mago will metame odom letame begodim. And so that's learned from the word olov. The Gemara continues, mishum shehein boyale nidois. The Mishnah taught that the mishkov and moishav of the kusim are metame because they are boyale nidos. The Gemara asks, "Otu kulu boyale nidos ninu?" What are all the kusim people that have intimacy with nidos? Amar of Yitzhak Magdala b'nesuos shanu. We're talking here about kusim that are married, and in the as a result of them being married, so their relations with their wives are suspected of being with their wives while they are in a state of tumas nida. V'hein yoshvois al kol dam v'dam. The Mishnah said that the nida, the kusi women observe tuma with regard to all different color emissions that come from their bodies. Tanya, a Tanaic source on this point, Omer Rabbi Meir, Imhein Yoishveis al kol dam v'dam takona gedoyla hi lahen. If they observe 7 days for every single sighting, 7 days of tuma and of prohibition for every single type of sighting, well, that's a takona gedoyla, it's a great thing. But that's not what really happens. Ela sheroyois dam odoim. What happens is, and this we explained when we were learning the Mishnah, that they will see dam yorok, a yellow discharge. The yellow discharge is not metama by Torah law, but they, the Kusi women, view it as tame incorrectly. They start counting a 7-day period from the yorok, the yellow sighting. And then let us say they reach day 4 of their 7-day counting and they see a red emission, which by Torah law actually does mitame, but they say, look, this day 4 is part of a 7-day unit of tuma, and therefore it doesn't affect anything. When a nida is tumea for 7 days, it's an automatic block of 7 days, whether or not she sees any additional sightings during that 7-day period. So this kusi woman would start a tumah of 7 days from a yellow sighting. On day 4, she would have a red sighting, or day 5, it doesn't really matter, we're just using an arbitrary number, but some additional sighting in the middle of the 7-day period, and that would be part of her 7-day counting. And in fact, on her day 4, since the yellow sighting, the yoroik sighting, her real counting doesn't begin on that day, but rather on day 4 when she has that red sighting. So what will happen is that when her day 7, according to her own counting, arrives, she's not really Tahora. She has only experienced a Torah period of 3 days of Tumah since her red sighting. And after that day 3 since the red sighting, or day 7 from her yellow sighting, she'll then have intimacy when she is still in a state of Tumah. Dover Acher, another explanation of the problem with regard to the Kusi women, Yoim Shepoisekes Boi Soifrosoi Leminyon Shiva. This is a reference to a Ziva sighting. A Ziva sighting is a blood sighting that a woman experiences. It's viewed as an unusual phenomenon, but if she has, after her Nida days, she has had a Nida sighting, which makes her Tumea for 7 days. For the next 11 days, if she has a 3-day consecutive sighting of blood, she becomes a Zava Gedola, which necessitates a counting of 7 subsequent clean days. What is appropriate here related to the Kusi? On day 3 of her Re'iyah Ziva, so let us use an example. After her 7 days of Nida, she reaches day 8, and lo and behold, on day 8 she sees blood, and she sees blood on day 9, and she sees blood and in the morning of day 10. So you have 8, 9, and 10, which is a consecutive unit of 3 days, and the blood on the third day stopped flowing in the morning. What did the Kusi women do? She's poseket the day, yoyim she posekes boy, the day that the blood, the third day of blood flow stops. Soifros leminyan shiva, she counts the balance of the day where there's no more blood flow as the first of her 7 days of tahara. We mentioned before that after a three consecutive day sighting that appears during the Yemei Ziva, she has to observe 7 clean days. And what does she do? She counts that first partial day of no blood as day 1. At this point, we are given to understand that since she saw at the beginning of that third day, she saw blood, so you can't count that day as a Tohor day, and you have to start counting from the next day. So our thinking right now is that she, this Kusi, will complete her 7 days before 7 days have really lapsed, and of course then she'll have intimacy on the last of what she thinks is her 7 days, and that will be forbidden intimacy. Maskif lo Rami Bar Chama. Rami Bar Chama takes exception and he says, "V'tisperenu, let her count that first partial day as a clean day. Vanan nami nispere, and let us as well, us who observe the Torah law as is given to Moshe Mehar Sinai, let us also count it that way. The Kaimalon, we have a rule, Mitzas Hayom Kikulo. Part of a day is viewed as a full day, so that if you have part of the day with no blood sighting, that counts as a full day of a full clean day. Omar Rava. Rava responds to Rami Bar Chama's suggestion. In Cain, if you are to say that we say such a thing, that Mitzvah Sayom Kukulo can count as a clean day, Shichva Zera de Sosar Beziva Hechi Mishkachas Lo. Ziva is a man's tumah. In this case, it's a Zav, who after a Zav sighting, it could be 2 days of, or 2 sightings, or 2 days of a Zav emission, he is expected to count 7 days, 7 clean days before he becomes Tohor. So there's also a rule that if a man has a Shichva Zera sighting, which is a semen sighting, during the clean days of the Ziva counting, the 7 clean days he needs, the Shichva Zera is Soser. It it interrupts, it undoes the string of seven. That's a rule that Shichva Zera Desosar Beziva is a rule. Later we're going to note that the Shichva Zera sighting knocks out only that day, it knocks out only one day, but it doesn't knock out his entire whatever he's counted up till that point. In other words, he doesn't lose credit for the days that he's already counted. But nevertheless, there is the power of a Shichva Zera sighting during the seven clean days of the Zav does cause him to lose that day. But according to Rami Bar Chama, that Mixas Hayom Kekulo can count as a clean day, Hechi Mishkachas Lo, how does the Shichva Zera ever undo the clean day that he was counting? For Mixas Hayom Kekulo, namely, as soon, let us say, at the 10 in the morning, he has a Shichva Zera sighting, and then after that, no more sightings. So the rest of the day, the part of the day that there's no Shichva Zera sighting, will undo the fact that he saw Shichva Zera, and he doesn't lose any days. And yet we know that a Shichva Zera sighting does cause a loss of a day. So the Gemara says, "E dechazoi bepalgo deyoimo hachinami." If the Zav would have the Shichva Zera sighting in the middle of the day, at midday, of one of those seven clean days, then, like Rami Bar Chama said, "Hocha b'mayaskinon," the halacha that Shichva Zera is so sere, what is the case? Dechazoi somuch l'shkia sachamo. He was counting clean days. And on one of those clean days, it was basically clean till the very end of the day, so that you didn't have any clean period after the Shichva Zera sighting. This emission took place at sundown, right before and together with sundown. So there were no minutes of the day when he was in a state of tahara. The Gemara asks, "Veleikum velemole lekro kiksiva." Are we to say that the pasuk that deals with Shichva Zera being soiser is samach l'shkias achama ksiva? That the whole pasuk is talking about a very, very contrived and limited case. The feeling is that, generally speaking, a pasuk, when it tells you something, is of a broader nature. The Gemara says, "What can we do in this case? We will say that pshat." Al kochuch shavke lekra diu dochik umuki anafshe. You'll have to leave the pasuk in its general connotation and establish it according to this specific case, because otherwise it will be difficult. If we notice the Rashi, there's a double star that we have in the lower part of the page. Since we have a rule in all places, that part of a day counts like a whole day, the pasuk as it is with regard to the Shichva Zera being soiser is dochik, means it's hard to understand or it's pressed. And you'll have to establish it on its own merit, besomoch l'shkias achamo. So what we have done in the last few lines is we explained what the problem with the kusim are, and one pshat we saw in the Tanaic source was that the women count their 7 days from the sighting of any color emission, even a tohor emission. And the other problem that may exist with the kusim is that the yoyim shepoisekes poisoifrosu l'minyan shiva. However, that dover acher, it seems from the Gemara, from Rami Bar Chama at least, that that's challenged, that maybe that's not a problem because of the concept of mixes hayom kekulai. Boy Rami Bar Chama, poiletes shichva zera mahu shetistor beziva. Let us say that we have a woman who was a zava, and she had intimacy, although it's forbidden, but she had intimacy while she was a zava. And then the blood flow stopped, and she started to count her 7 days, her 7 clean days. And in the middle of the seven clean days, the semen, the shikva zera that had been in her body, now comes out. It's called poiletes shikva zera. Does that upset, does that ruin her counting? Rashi adds, there is a general concept of a woman who, under general circumstances, not limited to the case of Zava, a woman who, after intimacy, has a, well, so I call it a delayed reaction, where the Zera comes out a little while afterwards. That's called Poletes Shikva Zera, and we say about that, that is mitama a person. We're talking now about the Zava counting her Tohar days, her seven Tohar days, and she experiences this Plitas Shikva Zera. Just for the sake of contrast, a woman who is counting seven clean days, let us say she touches a dead mouse, which is called a dead sheretz. Touching a sheretz is metame person. However, that's called tumas maga. That does not interfere with the seven clean days that she is counting. The only type of tuma that would interfere, that would undo her seven clean days, would be a tuma that's called tumas ri'iya. It's a tuma that is a result of a sighting, of some type of sighting. And there are differences in these two categories, one of maga and one of ri'iya. In one case, a shi'ur is required, and in the other case, no shi'ur is required, just as an example of a contrast, of a difference. So our question, or Rami Bahama's question is, a woman who is poletes shikva zera during the seven clean days, does that undo her counting in the same way that, let's say, a blood flow would undo her counting? And in that case, if she has a blood flow in the middle of the seven clean days, she has to start back from square one. She has to start back from the very beginning. So now, our question is, Roya Hoysa, is Plitas Shikva Zera categorized as a Roe form of Tuma, a sighting form of Tuma? Oy Dilma, here we're now at the very top of Omid Beis. Oy Dilma, or is it categorized as a Nogas Velo Sosra? It's called contact. In other words, the Shikva Zera is in effect having contact with her. Omar Rava, Lefum Churfa Shabeshta. Rami Bar Chama is described as a sharp individual, and he's the one that was asking the question. Rava says that his sharpness caused him to make a mistake. Sometimes people who are very sharp also don't take too much time to work things out, to reason things out to the end, and they'll raise points that have, there's a glitch to what they're saying. So Rava says that in Rami Bar Chama's question, there is a glitch. Nehi Nami de Sosra, granted that you're raising the possibility of the Plita Shikva Zera of undoing, Kamo Tistar, how much do you think it will undo? Tistar Shiva, do you think it's going to undo seven? No. Daya Kabbalah, it won't undo seven. It will maximum undo one day, just like a Zav that's counting his seven clean days and has a Keri experience, has a Shikva Zera experience. We mentioned this a few minutes ago, that it undoes only one day. Daya Kabbalah means she should be just like no more than Boala, the man that had intimacy with her. And the rule of a man is that a Shikva Zera sighting during clean days undoes only one of the days. Tistor Yom Echad, do you want to consider that? That okay, that the Shikva Zera from the Zova, who's counting her 7 days, undoes one day. That's also not a reasonable suggestion. The pasuk says, "V'achar titar, Omar Rachmona, achar lekulon," which means "Shelo tehe tuma mafsekes beinehem," that the string of 7 clean days must be uninterrupted. So to suggest any type of tistar, of stira, of undoing, would appear to be unreasonable. To suggest 7 days, we said, that's not reasonable. To suggest that she loses one day and simply picks up where she left off on the next day of her counting, that too is not reasonable. The Gemara asks, Uletameh zav gufei hechi sosar letarosoi. With regard to the man who is a zav and he needs his 7 clean days, how can the shichva zera sighting be soser 1 day by him? Omar rachmona shelotei tumo mafsekes beinehem. The Torah says the same thing with regard to the zav, that it should be a string of uninterrupted 7 clean days without something interrupting. And yet we know as a fact that a zav who has a keri sighting, he does lose 1 day. How do you resolve these 2 factors? On the one hand, a requirement of having 7 consecutive clean days, and on the other hand, a keri sighting interrupting and making him lose 1 day. What are you going to have to say in order to live with both of these concepts? When we speak about a string of 7 clean days, it doesn't mean clean from everything. It means clean from no additional ziva sighting. Ziva is a different type of emission than keri. So the Torah's concern is that there is no ziva sighting in the middle. So, hacha nami, so too by the zava, by the lady that was a zava, she starts counting her 7 consecutive, 7 days, clean days. We said that there should be no tuma interruption. What kind of tuma interruption are we saying cannot be? Shalote, hey, tumas ziva, mafsekes beneihem. A blood sighting cannot interfere or interrupt. And if it does, it'll undo all the days she counted. However, keri is not considered an interruption per se. It's not considered a problem or a glitch in the 7 consecutive clean days that are necessary. True, she loses 1 day, but she doesn't lose the days she continued counting. The only thing that makes her lose the days she already counted would be a ziva sighting. The ein chayovin alein albias mikdash v'chulei. The Mishnah made mention of someone who, let's say, did come into contact with the Mishkav of a Kusi, and then he goes into the Beis HaMikdash, so we say that it will not result in his needing to bring a sacrifice for the violation of entering the Beis HaMikdash in a state of Tumah. Let's go over that last point. The Mishnah has said that the Ein Chayovin Alein Albias Mikdash is a reference to someone who, let us say, would put on the clothing of a Kusi and then enter the Beis HaMikdash. He would not be obligated to bring a sacrifice for the violation of the rules of Tumah in the Beis HaMikdash. Rav Papa Iklo L'Toyach. Rav Papa went to this place, Toach or Tovech, Omar, and he said, "Iikot surba rabbanon hocha. If there is a Talmud chacham here, ezel akabel ape. I will go and greet him." Omro le hahi safta. An older woman said to him, "Iko hocha surba rabbanon v'rav Shmuel shmei. There is a Talmud chacham here, and his name is Rav Shmuel. V'toni masnisa, and he knows Tanaic sources. He's an expert in Tanaic sources. Yehe Ravo de Teve Kavose. It should be the will of the Almighty that you should be like him." So Rav Papa heard this woman praising Rav Shmuel, and Omar, Rav Papa said, "Mide ka mevarchi li begave," from the fact that she is using him as the basis of her blessing, "Shma mino yore shamayim hu." It must be that he is a God-fearing man. Ozal Ligabe. So Rav Papa went to Rav Shmuel. Rav Shmuel sees he has this important guest. Romalei Tura. He prepared an ox. In other words, he slaughtered an ox in honor of Rav Papa. Romalei Masnis and Adodi. And he also raised a contradiction in Tanaic sources for Rav Papa to hear and hopefully resolve. What's the contradiction? And here we are using a long question marking that takes in all the lines of the Gemara that present the problem. That's the kuf that you see encircled to the immediate right-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line. Tanan, on the one hand, our Mishnah on Daf Lamed Aleph Amud Beis says, "Ein chayovim alehen al bias mikdash," for the tachton shel kusi, if one wears, let's say, the clothing of a kusi, and enters the Beis HaMikdash, she is not considered chayov. V'ein sorfin alein es ha-truma, b'pnei shetum osa sofek. And if, let's say, truma came into contact with the tachta in Shelkusi, we will not burn the truma, which burning is the standard way of dealing with truma that became tomei. However, here there's an issue of doubt, as we've spent already quite a bit of Gemara discussion showing how the Kusi issue is an issue of doubt. So, as a result of it being a doubt, we might put the truma aside, let it rot, but we won't actively burn it. It's forbidden to burn truma that is tahar. Alma, we see from here, misfeka lo sarfina truma, that based on a doubt, we wouldn't go ahead and burn truma. Viramini, but we see in another source to the contrary. It says, al shisha sfekos sarfin es hatruma, al sofek big day amoretz. There are six examples of doubt that would lead us to burn truma if it encountered those things. And one of them is the sofek of big day amoretz. Big amoretz are people that are not careful with dinim of tumas and taras. And the clothing of the amoretz, of amoratzim, are viewed as tomei. And therefore, once again, we don't know for sure. In fact, it says in this source it's a sofek. It's one of the six sfekas. But we do burn based on the sofek, based on the, even though all we have is doubt. That's the question. Omar Rav Papa, Yehei Rava Dilis Akil Hai Tur Lishama. He says Yehei Rava means Yehi Rotzon, meaning it should only be that we should be able to finish the meal of this steak meal in peace. Hocha b'mayaskinan. You notice a triangle appears. These are used to denote the resolutions of this particular seeming contradiction. We feature this on the outside margin under the Nosei Mivneh heading, Yishuv Stira Be'inyan Sarfin Al Hasafek. The resolution of what appears to be a contradiction regarding burning over a case of doubt, burning the Truma. So what is his resolution? Hocha B'mayaskinon B'kusi Chover. The Mishnah is talking about a kusi that is a chover. Chover is a person who is careful with the rules of tumas and taras. Therefore, there's no need to burn the truma that contacted his clothing. The Gemara asks, kusi, the Gemara's Rav Shmuel is taken aback by Rav Papa's answer, and he says, kusi chover boyo nido mashvis lei. The Mishnah mentions that they are boyale nidos. So, a kusi chover, the person who's careful with the rules of tumas and taras, would the Mishnah categorize him as a boyal nido? Someone has intimacy with a nida. Shafke, Rav Papa got up. Rashi points out that he was insulted, and he went to Rav Simi. That's Shafke. He left Rav Shmuel, the Osilikame de Rav Simi Bar Ashi. And he went to Rav Simi and told him the story. Omar Lei, Rav Simi responded, and here he offers an answer, and you'll notice that there is a long answer marking the tuf that's encircled to the immediate left-hand side of the Gemara text with a descending vertical dashed line represents Rav Simi's answer to the contradiction. My time, O lo Mishanis Lei, why didn't you answer the kusi shetoval, the olo v'doras al bigdei chover, the ozlu bigdei chover v'nogu b'truma, that the case of the Mishnah that says we're not going to be chayev and we're not going to burn truma is this specific case: a kusi that immersed himself in a mikveh, came out of the mikveh, and then trampled on big day chover, clothing of a chover. And then the clothing of the chover came into contact with truma. The e mishum tumas amoretz. If you're to think that the kusi has the status of tumas amoretz, ha tovile, but this kusi just came out of the mikveh. So any tuma label that he may have had is undone by the fact that he immersed himself. V'i mishum boyo nida, and if the status of the kusi is one of boyo nida, well, safek boal bekorov, safek lo boal bekorov. Granted, he would have relations with a nida, but maybe the relations were recent, and in fact, his mikveh immersion wouldn't have any effect because he would be tameh for 7 days, and if he just yesterday had bia with a nida, so it wouldn't help his having gone to mikveh. However, maybe lo boal bekorov, maybe his bia with the nida was a long time ago, and he observed the seven tohor days that are required, and then his mikveh immersion would be effective. So you have a suffix, the im timsilomar boal bekorov, and even if you say that he had relations with a woman very recently, nevertheless, suffix hishlimoso yorok, suffix lo hishlimoso. We don't know if, as far as that woman is concerned, is that woman a case of having started counting because of a yellow sighting and then had a subsequent red sighting. Maybe that's not what happened with her whatsoever. And on the side that she didn't do that, have a red sighting during the seven days she was counting, so she wouldn't have been Tamea in the first place. So there's a double suffix over here. As we saw, suffix boal bekorov, suffix lo boal bekorov, and there's a suffix whether she, the woman, was a nida in the first place. V'have sfeik sfeika. This is called a double suffix. V'as sfeik sfeika lo sarfinon truma. Because we have this double suffix, double doubt, that is insufficient grounds for burning the truma. The Gemara asks, the tepuk lei mishum bigdei amoretz. Why not learn that the case of the burning of the truma is because of bigdei amoretz? When the kusi trampled over the bigdei chover, so he was wearing clothing, and those clothing came into contact with the clothing of the chover, and would metame them. The Omar Mor, bigdei amoretz medris leprushim. There is a teaching that the clothing of an amoretz are viewed as a medris. A medris is a chair or a bed which has the power of communicating tuma to people and vessels. And in this case, we're talking about the bigdei kusi, which he is called he is viewed as an amoretz, and that the clothing he was wearing came into contact with the bigdei chover, which eventually touched the truma. And why not use that as the explanation for the circumstances of our burning the truma? To restate this last point with greater clarity, we just got finished explaining, based on this sfeik sfeika, that would be the explanation of why ein sorfen alena satruma. The Gemara is asking, why do you say ein sorfen alena satruma? The kusi that trampled over the clothing of the chover, is it not so that his clothing have a din of medris, and as such his clothing would have imposed tuma on the bigdei chover, and then the bigdei chover having come into contact with the truma, that would metame it. Omar lei, so he answers, bekusi orum. The kusi, when he trampled on the bigdei chover, he was unclothed, and as such, so that this element cannot be introduced. The Mishnah. The topic heading that we've put on the side of the Gemara regarding this part of this section of Gemara is Ma Dinon Shel Benois Sukim. The Gemara will be preoccupied with trying to classify the status of the daughters, the women of the Tzedukim. Tzedukim were another
we'll call it the aberration group of Judaism, who did not accept the oral tradition, whose approach to Judaism is one limited to the reading of the scriptures in a literal sense. As a result of that, a lot of halachas that we are familiar with and we practice, they don't accept. So we want to know, what is the rule or the status that will apply to the Kusi women? Kibbonos, to the Tzedukim women, Kibbonos Kusim, will we treat them as according to the rules that we've mentioned at the beginning of this perek, the way Kusi women are treated, Oy Kibbonos Yisrael, or like the rank and file Jewish women. The Mishnah, Benois Kusim, Bizman Shenoagu Loleches Bedarke Avoisehen, Harehen Kekusios, the Kusi women, when they choose to follow the ways of their forebearers, they will be treated like Kusios. Porshu Loleches Bedarke Yisrael, a Tzeduki woman who departed from her father's ways and chose to follow the Torah path, Harehen Kisraelis, are treated then as a full-fledged Jewess. Rabbi Yossi Oimer li oilom hein kisraelis ad shiyifreshu loleches bedarkei avoseihem. Rabbi Yossi says, if you don't know anything about a Tzeduki woman, assume her to be like Yisraelis, unless you know that she chose the path of her Tzeduki forebearers. The Gemara is asking now, is going to ask about the Tanakama's position on the unknown case. Rabbi Yossi stated pretty clearly what the position would be in the Stam, where I don't know her ways. So he said, we will assume her to be a part of the Torah observance. According to the Tanakhama, though, you can make inferences from the Mishnah that would lead you to a different conclusion. So the Gemara is not clear. The Gemara itself raises this doubt. And on the side of the Gemara, we have a Mivneh heading where we have a house form in two different directions. So the point of this Gemara is Lifshot HaSheila LaTanakama Stamo Mai. With the house form facing upwards, the result would be Stamo Ki Yisraelis, the unknown case of the Tzeduki woman would be to treat her like a Yisraelis. When the house form is flipped over, we're going to say Stamo Kikusis. Now the Gemara. Ibayalaho, Stamo Mai. According to the Tanakama, the Stam situation, what is the, how are we to treat the Kusi, the Tzeduki woman? So the Gemara tries to conclude, Toshma, Benos Tzedukim, Bizman Shinoyagos Aleches Bedarke Avoseihem, Harehen Kekusios. The Tzeduki women, when they follow the ways, when they choose actively to follow the ways of their fathers, then they are treated as Kusios. Kusios is the plural of Kusi. Ha Stamo, if you don't know that she chose that path, Kisraelis. So this would resolve our question. We would say she's viewed as a Yisraelis in the Stam situation. Amos Seifa. The latter part of the Mishnah says, Porshu Loleches Bedarke Yisrael, if she left the ways of her forebears to follow the Torah way, Harehen Yisraelis, then they are granted Yisraelis status. Ha Stamo, we would infer from the Seifa, if you don't know, Kikusios. Elo Meho Leko Lamashmino, from the reading of our Mishnah and its inferences, that which we've dashed, underlined, the Stam cases, you can see that the Mishnah is inconclusive. So there's Meho, from here, from the Mishnah, Leko Lamashmino, there is nothing to conclude. Toshma, so we attempt by citing another source, in fact, the end of the Mishnah where Rabbi Yossi appears. And the here the house form is inverted, so we're going to conclude Stamo Kikusis. Toshma Disnan, our Mishnah says, Rabbi Yossi Oimer, Li Oilom Hi Kisraelis. In general, we will view the Bas Tzeduki as a Yisraelis. Ad Shi Yifreshu Loleches Bedarke Avoseihem, until they depart from the Torah way to go like their forebearers. So Rabbi Yossi's version of the Stam is to treat her like Yisraelis. Michlal the Tanakama Sovar, we would infer by the mere fact that Rabbi Yossi appears as a dissenting opinion in the Mishnah, that the Tanakhama holds otherwise, and that namely, Tanakama sober stamo kikusis kikusios shma mino. This is viewed as conclusive. Tonu Rabbanan. The Gemara features a Tanaic source with an incident in it. Maisa b'tzeduki echad shesiper im koyin gadol b'shuk. A tzeduki met a koyin gadol and conducted a conversation. Siper, he spoke to the koyin gadol in the public shuk, the public market. V'nitzet sinurim piv, and some spittle was emitted from the tzeduki's mouth, and v'nofel koyin gadol ab gadov, and it fell on the koyin gadol's clothing. V'horiku ponav shel koyin gadol, and the koyin gadol turned colors. In other words, he was very upset. V'kida mitzel ishtoi, and the koyin gadol ran to his wife to tell her the story. It should be known by way of background that people who are suspect of people who are tomei, or in this case suspect of tuma, different body fluids that they emit also communicate tuma. Not all body fluids, but some. In this case, spittle is one of them, and the Kohen Gadol was quite upset. He is a person that has to deal on a daily basis with the Beis HaMikdash, and now he is experiencing a setback with this spittle landing on his clothing. So he runs and tells his wife about this story. Omro lo, so the Mrs. Kohen Gadol says, Afa pi shenosa shenishe tzedukim hain, even though the wives of these people are the wives of tzedukim, hain misyorois min aprushim, they are afraid of getting on the wrong side or being caught by the Prushim, by the Torah observant community. Umarois dam lachachomim, and when they experience a blood flow, they will run and show it to a sage so that they will receive legal rulings on their status at all times. Omar Rabbi Yossi, Bikin Onu Bohen Yoiser Minakol, we are very familiar with them. We are expert in them, in the Tzedukim, Vehein Marois Dam Lechachomim, and they do show their blood emissions to the sages. Chutz Mishoacha Shoisu Bishunosenu, Shalohar Sodam Lechachomim, there was, with the exception of one woman who was in our neighborhood who refused or did not show her blood stains to the Chachomim, Umeisan, she died. So Rabbi Yossi seems to be just strengthening the point that the Mrs. Kohen Gadol had meant, that you don't have to worry about the Tzeduki as having become Tomei, as being a Boyel Nida, because his wife would not be a Nida upon their conducting intimacy. The Gemara asks, but still, is there not a problem with Tepukle Mishum Tzinura Damoretz? The tzeduki is assumed to be an ignoramus, and there's a general classification of tuma, or general labeling of tuma, that applies to the to the ignorant, to the amaratzim. So is it not so that the spittle was metama the kohen gadol just because it's the tuma, it's the spittle, the tzinura of an amaretz? Omar Abaye b'tzeduki chover. Abai explains that the reason that didn't come up as a problem is because we're dealing with a knowledgeable tzeduki, and hence the Am Haoretz label wouldn't apply. Omar Rava tzeduki chaver boyel nida mashvis lei. In this story, we were debating the fact that he, the tzeduki, might have been a boyel nida. If not for the fact that that their wives take the initiative, he would have been a boyel nida. So how can you tell me that you're talking about a tzeduki chaver, an informed, a knowledgeable, a Torah knowledgeable tzeduki, when at the same time you're considering him as a boyel nida? Elo Omar Rava. The Gemara continues at the top of Lama Dalet Amud Aleph. Regel Have, the Maisa with the Kohen Gadol was during the holiday. A regel is a holiday. The Tumas Am Haoretz beregel Kitara Shavinu Rabbonai. When it comes to holidays, the labeling of Amaratzim doesn't apply, is suspended for during the holiday period, and therefore the Tuma we associate with Amaratzim isn't a factor. And the Gemara goes on to bring a posuk to this effect. Dechtiv Vayosef kol ish Yisrael el ir ki ish echad chavirim. You have Vayosef means the gathering of all of Israel. That takes place during the holidays. And Hakosuv asam kulon chavirim. The pasuk views them all as chavirim, are, as we said before, people that don't have a tuma, an automatic tuma status. They're viewed as if they were chavirim. The Rashi at the top adds, Regel Have, the Tuma Samaritz, the Lav Tzeduki, the Tuma that we associate with Amaratzim that are not Tzedukim, the Derech Ishto Laharois Dam. This piece of Gemara is talking about a non Tzeduki. The Tzeduki is someone who would show, the wives would show their blood. Kitaro Shavina Rabbanon, Beregel. Avot Tzeduki, the Stama Boyo Nidahu, Nehi Nami the Tumas Amaretz Leka, a Tzeduki, if we don't know anything about him, we would assume him to be a Boyo Nidah. And he would be considered having Tumas Amaretz. Nehi Nami the Tumas Amaretz Leka, granted that during the holidays we suspend that classification, Tumas Boyo Nidah Ika. But the Tuma of a Boyo Nidah there would be. So that Rava's point here is that if your question is should we not say that there's Tumas Amoretz, here the answer to that is, well, since we're dealing with the holiday time, that Tuma has been suspended. But in general, a Tzeduki, a Stam Tzeduki, is viewed as a Boyal Nida. Before we conclude our shiur, a correction must be made. In the story involving the Tzeduki conversing with the Kohen Gadol, we mentioned that the Kohen Gadol ran to his wife. That's not true, it's not accurate. Rashi points out that he ran to the wife of the Tzeduki who lived in the neighborhood. So she informed the Kohen Gadol that, have no fear, I show my emissions to the Chachomim, and therefore my husband is not a Boyal Nida. However, as far as the Tanakhama is concerned, it might be understood that she is comforting this particular Kohen Gadol. However, the Gemara here at the top of Lamed Dalid and the Rashi that we learned would seem to imply that a Tzeduki Stam is considered a Boyal Nida. If not for the fact that you're dealing with the regel, and hence there's no Amoritz labeling, a Stam Tzeduki would, yes, be considered a Boyal Nida, and therefore the story involving the Kohen Gadol and her comforting him might be on a private basis on that particular case, but in general, they are viewed as Boyalei Nida. That point is something that needs further clarification, so with that, however, we conclude our shiur for today.